And here we have St. Paul proclaiming the gospel, the good news. And it's a good news of Jesus, his teaching, his suffering, death, resurrection, and his gift from God the Father to us. They know what they're teaching, but the interesting thing is that when they proclaim this gospel, many come to believe in him. We have to see that there's a power in the proclamation of the good news. There's a type of anointing, there's a type of gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to us. When we hear God's word addressed to us, it comes to us, and it comes to us not just as some other story that we hear on the news, but it touches our heart. It touches our heart. It touches our heart with that good news that God has chosen us from the beginning of time. As Saint Paul says, we ourselves are proclaiming this good news to you, that what God promised our fathers, he has brought to fulfillment for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son. You are my son. This day I have begotten you. It's a good news of salvation. That's why it touches our hearts so deeply. Because the proclamation of the gospel has power. It's dynamic power, that it can not only reach our ears where we can hear the truth, but also it touches us deeply, and we know that this truth is a saving truth. It's a consoling truth. It's a news of hope. Now, if we were to look at the gospel itself today, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have also faith in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I'm going there to prepare for you. It's a beautiful gospel, especially when it comes to funerals. Then we have the promise of Jesus that he is preparing a place for us. We don't have to be afraid. But today we have an interesting quote from Jesus. Jesus says, you know the way. And Thomas says, no, we don't know the way. How can we get there? How can we come and be at the dwelling place which you have prepared for us? And thank God, excuse me, thank God Thomas always seems to be asking those questions. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, but he also seems to ask the right question. He says, well, we don't know the way. You tell us this and that. And Jesus says to him, Thomas, and to all of us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever comes to me will have eternal life. Whoever comes to me will possess the gift of life that we cannot even grasp and understand. And so I wanted to kind of share just a reflection with you. You know, if Jesus is the way, what type of way it is? So, where does the Lord lead us? We're invited to follow him more nearly today. Yes, we have heard this news some times ago, perhaps, but today this good news and this invitation is renewed to us. To trust him, to trust in him, for he is the way, the truth, and life. We're invited to a deeper trust, to a deeper faith. We live in a world filled with all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of ideologies. And many around us, and even some of our family members, have chosen to follow consciously or unconsciously influential philosophers. I have to say, they follow social leaders, political leaders, who promise to bring us personal happiness, national happiness, whatever it may be, social harmony, peace, justice. However, the most influential of the philosophers of today, according to what I feel and I see, is the ancient pagan philosophy, Carpe Diem, seize the day. That's what it means. But what it means is this: enjoy yourself while you have the chance, or in today's language, since you live only once, grab all the gusto you can out of this life and live as you please. Don't let it be controlled by anything. Just don't let anybody tell you what to do. And so Christian beliefs and teachings and customs are easily set aside because people kind of justify it. Well, I've got to enjoy life is given to me, so I have to embrace. That's one way. But there's another thing that today is kind of prominent, especially among the young, is the building happiness, both personal and social, on what I consider the sort of kind of materialistic worldview, pragmatic approach. Perhaps its roots go back to Locke, and in our country, Dewey and others, whereby it says that, you know, you embrace this sort of way that whatever is pragmatic, whatever brings you, whatever you wish, and so you choose those things and once again set aside the gospel for that. But the problem is this: if we accept this materialistic worldview, or maybe even more destructive, what is called utopian idealistic view of Marxism, which seems to be predominant as well today, if we accept these, we forget that they've been tried already in 19th century, 20th century, and every time they're embraced, they bring destruction. What did this Marxist philosophy do for Russia? You know, Lenin, Stalin. What did they do for China, Mao? What did they do for Germany under Nazis? There's a called National Socialist Party. Sometimes we don't think, but they're also socialists too. What did they bring? Hundreds of millions of people died trying to follow them, and we seem to be always feeling that since we don't embrace Christianity, we don't embrace the gospel, so we have to choose something. And to choose something is this type of materialistic worldview and then sort of pragmatic on one hand, or maybe this idealistic utopian. And so we get stuck. And so many of the young people seem to follow and once again, which has been already tried many times and have failed, but they seem to be coming up again and again because there's nothing else. Or you go and choose some religion of the East, perhaps, but there are not that many adherents to that. So that's why we reject Christianity. We have nothing in the absence. We choose something which produces so much already of destructive effects. So they promise justice, equality, peace, social harmony, happiness. Everybody's going to be nice, everybody equal. And what they do in turn bring violence, intolerance, disillusionment, destruction, and countless innocent people who have died as a result. But we do have something. God gave us over 2,000 years ago. He gave us something special, something extraordinary. Something that God already revealed partially in the Old Testament. So we go back to 4,000 years ago, the Judeo-Christian gift that God gave us, revealed himself, showed us what is the way, how to bring harmony into society, into our families, the Ten Commandments. But then he has enhanced it through Jesus. In Jesus we have the truth, the way of life. And so he gave us. And they have been proven to bring many people joy, harmony. They have proven people, have been proven to give people peace. You know, those who have tried, including, people like Gandhi, he chose the gospel way of bringing independence to India. He brought the gospel way, gospel of nonviolence, gospel of following the Lord's teaching. And what happened is that as a result, in India received independence without really, really much bloodshed. There was some, but not much. Martin Luther King, who studied here in Boston, studied American personalism, which is Christian personalism. He introduced into the nonviolent movement to retain equality. Once again, even for social structures, the gospel seems to be very powerful. There's the social teachings of the church. I'll bring good into our society. But I would like to say that what does Jesus bring to us? First of all, he leads us to the knowledge of God. He leads us to the Father's love, to forgiveness, mercy. He leads us to a life that we cannot fully comprehend, but we know when we receive, because we shall be like him, which is that he leads us by the way of love and mercy that brings peace to our hearts and brings harmony, understanding of our future acceptance. Coming to know the Father through Jesus as the way means to know that we are loved and that God has prepared a home for us for all eternity, as we hear in our gospel today. We know that Jesus is leading us to the Father by way of a narrow path. The narrow path is that of love, absolute love of God and neighbor, a life of childlike trust, of merciful love, of following God's commandments. And this path leads to freedom and deep happiness, personal happiness. Jesus is the way overcomes evil in our society, both spiritual and personal, since we cooperate through sin and all its manifestations, and the fruits of sin and this rejection of God is anger, loss, greed, confusion, doubt, and fear. Very much we see this in our society today. The farther we run away from the gospel, the more we see, you know, the angers, the violence, greed, confusion, because that's what it does. The Lord's teaching is light, and so it lights our path and shows us the way how to walk in true justice, love, compassion towards God and one another. But you know, the invitation to follow the Lord is not just a one-time invitation. It is to kind of modify our life, because in obedience, hearing God's word, and loving and surrendering, we are able to accomplish that which he wishes and desires for us. But this path not only leads to transformation here and now, but it also leads us to the kingdom, to paradise. And that's the gift that God gives, is leading us to abundant life, as we shall see. Now, it is a narrow way. The Lord says, you know, the path that leads to eternal life, and a gate is a narrow path, and few find it, but those who respond to the invitation by the Lord, they do. Okay, now, if we follow the path, Jesus says not only is he the way, but he's also the truth. He embodies the essence of the truth. When Pilate asked him, what is truth? Truth is to know God. Truth is to know our future glory. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth found in Jesus liberates us from ignorance, bondage to have truths, deceptions, illusions, and above all, leads us to freedom from sin, because sin blinds us. The more the sin has a control over us, it kind of blocks our ability to see things. It was Cardinal Sara who said something very interesting. He says that the more noise we have around us, the more half-truths we hear, the less silence we have, the greater our anxiety is, the greater our fear is, and the greater confusion is. And so therefore, we allow things to be always around us, the noise, we drive, we go work, we hear these talks and whatever it is. In some ways, it may be good, but the overabundance of that and the lack of moments of silence does not allow us to hear God's word, does not allow us to hear his truth. And we do not meditate because we just don't know. So overabundance of junk produces junk within us. The truth. Through his earthly ministry, Jesus revealed the truth of who God is, of his plan for us. What is our plan? You know, the Saint Paul says that God is true to his promises, and he fulfills the plan of salvation for us. So instead of rejoicing what the gift has been given to us, we don't exactly hear the parables, the teachings, miracles, all that has illumined the truth for us, who Jesus is. He has the power. The church has inherited the power to forgive sins, to make bread into wine, bread and wine into body and blood of Christ. The church has inherited the power to remove the evil, to exorcise. That's the power the Lord gave us. And so embracing Jesus as the truth requires a willingness in our own life to confront our own limitations, our own sinfulness, where we can see what God can do for us when we embrace humility, that power of God. So the truth of Jesus has the power to transform us from within. Not that somebody enforces it from outside, but we are able to be transformed from within. We desire the good, we desire greater good. By nature, we seek happiness, but if we don't know what happiness is, then we pursue the sensible type of things which we are affecting us. But we forget that we have a soul, forget that we have a great calling to go beyond, and so we can get kind of confused. But there's also one element here, that once you embrace the path of Jesus, know the truth, then the Lord says that he will give us an abundant life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus through the teachings, but above all through the sacraments, through the Eucharist. Jesus is our life. And you know, today more and more people abstain from welcoming Jesus in the Eucharist. They don't either believe in him, they don't go to church anymore. So they're malnourished by divine life. They are not able to receive the gift of divine life, which actually gives us the deep sense of happiness and joy, fulfillment, because God made us in his image. And as St. Augustine says, God, you made us for yourself in your image, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you, because nothing will give us that fulfillment. So embracing Jesus as the life is an invitation to experience a profound transformation from spiritual death to life. As we surrender to him in trust, his life-giving spirit dwells within us, renewing our inner being, restoring hope, and empowering us to have divine life. So Jesus' life encompasses both the human and divine dimension. That's where we cannot, no matter how far we pursue the path of this world, we'll never obtain and never attain the divine gifts, except through faith, through the gifts of the church, through the sacraments, through his word, through the Holy Spirit. This is the way we, through prayer, this is the way we imbue ourselves, nourish ourselves with divine life. And that divine life will perdure beyond the grave. That's the gift that God gives us, the gift that will perdure. Otherwise, if we don't, we may continue our existence, but in a wrong place, forever missing, forever being anguished, forever being remorseful, that we have missed the opportunity to be with God. And we chose just anything. We chose the body, so we could please the body. We chose our disordered passions, greed, whatever it may be, loss, whatever, we get fulfilled to some degree, never get fulfilled. But nonetheless, we miss the opportunity to be with God, because only God can give us. I know that we know this, but it's nice for us to kind of look as to the words that Jesus says, I am the life, the truth. I'm sorry, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Father, may we dwell in you as you dwell in Jesus, our Lord. Jesus says, you know, he's inviting us that we may share the life of God. As I am in him, in the Father, and you are in me, and we are already in God. I mean, it's a mystery which we cannot fully achieve and grasp. How is it that we are already not only in Christ, in that mystical body, but being in Christ, we're already in the Father. That's in our hope, in our love, in our trust. We're already there. And so may the Lord then today, as we wait upon him, to receive not only his guidance, instructions, the gift of the Holy Spirit, of knowledge and understanding, but also that we may welcome him in the Eucharist, that he comes. He is our life, he is our abundant life, and in him we shall attain paradise, life of glory.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.